Well, I don't know how many times in the last few days I've heard somebody say something along the lines of, you couldn't write it. Just as you're looking at the chaos around us, you couldn't write it. And it's been quite a week. It's been quite a number of weeks in a lot of ways. And if it wasn't so tragic, it would actually be like an episode of Yes, Minister, for those who can remember that far back. It's just changing so quickly. And in many ways, I'm glad that some people are able to point out the funny sides of things that happen around us, because otherwise it would be so depressing. And I'm glad there are people who can see the cartoons and the things that just help us to smile through it. But it's tempting to become very cynical, to walk away, to give up on politics altogether and just say, well, it's not for me, it's not for us. And it is very tempting. And yet, we come back to Scripture, and interestingly, in our elders' prayer time this morning, this is one of the verses that was used in prayer this morning. This is what we're called to. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, and interestingly, for kings and all those in authority. So the temptation is to turn our backs and just throw up our hands, but we're brought back to no. We need to be praying for our king, for the government, whether it's here in Stormont or over in Westminster. We need to be praying. If we prayed as much as we complained, if we prayed as much as we gave our own humble opinions about these things, we would see changes. Why do we pray for those who have authority? That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior. So here's the what I need, the antidote to cynicism. Praying specifically for wisdom, for integrity, for holiness and godliness. You know, one of the other lines that has quite shaken me and almost scared me this week: you get the government you deserve. Boy, now if that's true, we are in big trouble. But we need to pray, not just for them, that they have godliness and holiness, wisdom and integrity. We need to be praying that for ourselves, that as God's people, we have that godliness, holiness, wisdom, integrity. It's really exciting at the moment to know that there's a huge number of people within our congregation who are following the Immerse Bible reading experience or program, whatever you want to call it. And it's quite hard to keep up with it, but I know that many of you are doing it. And this last week we've been reading through 1 Corinthians. And one of the things that has struck me as I've read through it is just this whole picture of wisdom. Wisdom is what we need. And look at our own lives. My life, I need wisdom. The government needs wisdom. Wisdom is needed. Now, this is not some sort of head knowledge. We're not praying so that we can answer all the questions on Mastermind. Happy birthday, Mastermind. We're not praying so that everybody can answer all those questions. That's not the wisdom we're talking about. We're not talking about special insights or superior wisdom, superior knowledge that Paul talks about in this passage that Jeff read for us. There were groups in Corinth who claimed that they had special insights into what God was doing, who claimed that they had superior knowledge and understanding about what God was doing, much better than any of you folks out there. We have this. And Paul in that passage is saying, no, it's not about that. It's about the wisdom that God gives us. It's not about what we understand as wisdom. The passage simply says the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. The human wisdom that we look up to at times, that we marvel at, well, God's foolishness is greater than that. It's not even about strength. We look at people who demonstrate that strength in lots of different ways. And the Bible reminds us, well, the very weakness of God is stronger than our strength. We talk about wisdom as much, much more than just head knowledge. As individuals and as a nation, we need that wisdom which is from above. And that's where this passage has taken me this week. As we've read through 1 Corinthians, just praying for wisdom. It has always been the case that when people take their eyes off God and the things of God and begin to look at themselves, then things start to fall apart. If you go right back into the Old Testament, the book of Judges, it was a time whenever there was absolute chaos in Israel. And we read, everyone did as he saw fit. Some of the older translations said everyone did what was right in his own eyes. They just did their own thing. If it feels good to me, I'll do it. If it seems right to me, I'll do it. And everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And as you read through that portion of Scripture and many other portions of Scripture, you discover a dysfunctional society. A society that become very individualistic. A society that become very self-centered. It was all about me. It was all about my rights. It was all about what I want. It was not about God's people, what God wants of them. It was me and I. Some things never change. Some things never change. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, because that same thing, that same attitude is going on. These folks way back in the days of Israel's greatness lost sight of the right of what was right and what was wrong, and they just did whatever they wanted to do. As you read through the Bible, and as you look at the world, you discover the truth that this world was created by God to be governed by God. And when life pulls itself away from that, when we detach ourselves from being governed by God, that's when the problems appear. So what we're seeing around us is nothing new. There isn't anything new under the sun. People doing what's right in their own eyes. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Doesn't matter what God calls us to. And our own lives and the life of our nation is trying to build on sand. So where does wisdom start? Well, the Bible simply says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, sometimes we look at that and we think, fear? Fear of the Lord? Well, this is the God who is both holy and just, the God who will judge sin, and so there's an aspect of that which we should be terrified. There's also this aspect of fear which is just reverence and awe in the very presence of this holy God, the King to be worshipped. There is fear. But for those who are in Christ, there is no fear in love. There's no fear in love. Once we have trusted Jesus, we know that Jesus has paid the price for our sin, he took the judgment, we don't have to take it. And the beginning of wisdom is that fear, that standing in awe of the Lord. Once we've experienced the grace of God in Jesus, we don't have to fear that judgment. Eugene Peterson in The Message takes that same verse and simply says, skilled living gets its start in the fear of God. Wisdom is about how to live. It's not about sitting, reading the Wikipedia and all the other things that fill our heads with knowledge. Skilled living gets its start in the fear of God. Insight into life comes from knowing the Holy God. That's what wisdom is, skilled living. Sometimes we make it into something very complicated. That's simply being able to live well. Insight into life. That's what we're called to. So what do? Well, Solomon, known for his wisdom, Solomon prayed. This is the prayer that Solomon gave. And we know it so well. We turn to it time and time again when we're up against it as a nation. We turn to this prayer. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Interesting, it's not addressed to those people out there who are making a mess of this world. It's addressed to God's people, of my people. We're called by my name. We're the ones who are called to humble ourselves, to realize it's not about our wisdom. It's not about what we want. It's about Jesus, who is the very wisdom of God and who calls us to be obedient to him. To pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways. Again, it's not the world out there, it's us. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. Often when we gather for prayer, we pray for God to revive not just his church, but to revive our nation. This is where it starts. With me, with you. Humbly confessing our sin, praying, seeking his name. Turning, repenting, turning from our wicked ways. And here's God's promise. He will hear from heaven. Forgive our sin. Heal our land. When we are truly humble, there's no room for boasting except in Jesus. He's our only boast. Only in Jesus can we boast. He is the wisdom of God. Jesus did what looked like a very foolish thing and went to the cross. It didn't make sense to some folks who looked on. To others, it was a stumbling block. How could the Messiah, how could the Savior end up on a cross? That doesn't make sense. It looked like foolishness. But it is the very power of God. For each of us, for our governments, for our nation. And so I'm going to invite you to pray. Just a moment now, we'll just have a moment or two to pray quietly out loud if you wish, for our nation. At the close of the service, our prayer ministry team will be in the Fraser Room out behind us here, and they would love to pray with you and for you. There's that opportunity to come for prayer. Wednesday evening, we'll be gathered at 7:30 again in the Fraser Room to pray. Why don't you join us as we pray, as we put this verse into action? It takes us to be intentional. It takes us to be intentional about deciding, yes, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray that God will change me and change our land. Let's take that moment to pray together. Immortal, invisible, God's only wise. Father God, we bow before you, acknowledging our lack of wisdom, acknowledging our weakness, and seeking your wisdom, your strength. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Work in our lives, in the lives of those who have authority over us, in the life of our nation, we pray. And all to the praise of your glory. Amen.